This is Church Tech Profiles, episode 10 for the week of November 9th, 2020, Matt Lewis. Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Church Tech Profiles. I am Dan Metschke, your host. This episode goes back to sort of the beginning of the year. I believe it was not a couple months into the pandemic, and Duke DeYoung, who I work with at CCI, and most of you know if you've listened to Church Tech Weekly, he and I were doing some Facebook Lives with churches and people that we worked with consistently and just getting their take on kind of how their churches were doing tech and doing worship, doing online things and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's very relevant still, but it is, some of the references may be a little bit, you know, the beginning of the year. So you may be wondering what's going on with that. But I believe this was, April or May or something like that, that we recorded this interview with Matt Lewis. So you're going to hear some kind of references to Facebook Live, like there'll be some questions from the audience later and different stuff like that, which may sound a little bit weird, but at least you'll have context because, like I said, it was from a Facebook Live that we did. But I wanted to put it up on the Church Tech Profiles podcast because Matt is a great guy. He's the executive pastor of Beach Point Church in Huntington Beach, California, but he also is a worship pastor and a tech guy. So he really knows a lot about just how everything integrates together and kind of the flow. And I think you'll find it really interesting what Beach Point is doing and what they were doing as they turned through the pandemic and kind of had to be strictly an online church. You're going to hear some references to different stuff that he was going through at the time, but it's still a great interview. I think it's still totally relevant as we live in kind of the groundhog day of COVID-19 and 2020 that, well, to be honest, never seems like it's going to end. But anyway, so here is my interview with Matt Lewis. Also on the Facebook Live was Duke DeYoung. So you're going to hear from him as well. So that, just to give you a little bit of context about what's going on with that. So anyway, let's get going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I've been at Beach Point for about 15 years and 12 of those years, I was the worship arts pastor. And then for the last 3 years, I've been the executive pastor. And previous to that, in another life, as my wife likes to call it, I toured and worked in live event production.
So you kind of got all three disciplines happening. So you're an executive pastor, you were a worship pastor, and you were a technical director, basically, until you hired your first technical director. So
yeah.
So tell a little bit about, for the folks who don't know, tell us a little bit about Beach Point. Kind of what's the deal with the church?
Yeah, Beach Point is a church that's located in Fountain Valley, California. We're about, you know, we would say we have 1,200 people that call Beach Point home, and up until recently, you know, we met in our physical campus, and now we're obviously for most of us we're online now, and I would say this about Beach Point, you know, our pastor, he was our church's youth pastor. And so he has such a huge heart for families. And so we have quite a focus on ministering to families and discipling families. So we really work, like some churches may have an emphasis on the weekend and a high production and all that sort of thing might be their thing. And that's awesome. That's what they do. For us, we try to work through our family ministry to disciple and reach people. And so the weekend for us is one of the things that we do. It's not the thing. So that's us. That's us in a nutshell.
Cool. Cool.
No. This is me in a nutshell. Help. I'm in a nutshell. Sorry.
Yeah.
This is what happens when I'm home too much.
That's right. Yeah. We've all been home way, way, way too much. Yep. That's for sure. Sure. Well, cool. So, obviously, and you know, we're not going to, these shows are not going to just be about streaming and about, you know, my favorite, there's a couple of phrases that I want stricken from our English language once we kind of get past the beginning of this whole thing, you know, to where we're actually back, actually talking to people in person. New normal is the, I want that, that was stricken from the, you know, new normal, quarantine. And there was one other one. I can't remember what the other phrase was.
Social distancing.
Social distancing. Yeah. I want all three of those things. I want them to be stricken from the English language when we're done with this thing. But, so just because, you know, this is the topic of the day, this is where we're at right now and all this good stuff.
What does your weekends look like?
Yeah. What are you guys doing now instead of what were you doing, you know, 3 weeks ago before all this started?
Yeah. So, you know, we were gathering in person prior to this and we were offering on the weekend, we were offering, programming for, you know, nursery to, fifth grade and then, middle school through adults gathered together for worship together. And, you know, I would say probably we look like a lot of other churches in terms of our worship style. You know, we're singing more, I guess, modern or to-date songs. Our pastor preaches. He really sees his role in the pulpit as leading the church through preaching. And so he's preaching messages that are helpful, that are meaningful, that meet people right where they're at in the moment. And for us, and this is one of our core values is being relational and right under transformation, it's relational. And so not being able to actually physically do that, you know, has been really hard. And so one of the things that we're trying to do, we're actually going to try it this Sunday and it could totally bomb. So, you know, hey, is we're going to try to host a Zoom after party for people who make first time decisions for Christ, as well as anybody who's new to the church. And, you know, everyone's heard about Zoom. So we'll see if we get any interesting folks that show up in our Zoom party. So yeah, that's something different we're trying. And to be quite honest, something that really differentiates our online experience right now and our physical, like, you know, in-person meeting, which has been really exciting, is we've been intentionally placing an invitation for Christ at the end of our services. And last week we saw almost 30 people make a first time decision for Christ. We've never done that. We're just not the church that does altar calls. And I think we're beginning to rethink, like, what does that mean for us? So the online thing is really interesting because it lets people have that kind of, you know, anonymity and that distance, but engage at the same time. So yeah, that's kind of what we're doing and we have been doing.
That's one of the most fascinating conversations I think we keep having through all of this is, you know, we have more connectivity from, you know, distance connectivity than ever before. We can reach new people, more people, all those things, but engagement is so much harder and getting people to the point where they're not just, you know, watching a show or watching for 5-10 minutes and then tuning out, but how do we actually keep them engaged and even responsive? It seems like that's been the hardest part about this whole thing.
Yeah. And I think that's why for us, the weekend isn't the thing. We don't put all of our chips there. And so, you know, it's one of the things that we do. And so we try to, you know, we're doing the lo-fi, and I think I heard somebody, on one of these calls mention this, but we're doing lo-fi things. You know, we're calling people one at a time.
What?
Yeah, baby.
That's weird.
Yeah. A phone? What's that?
Next, you're going to tell me you're writing letters.
And we are. You know, we're a larger church. We're not like, you know, a huge mega church, but we're a larger church. And we, you know, prior to this, we would have said, oh, that's, you know, that's just, that's really inefficient. And it's a, you know, huge waste of time. But that doesn't make any sense. Like connecting with your people, no matter what it takes, is the most important thing you should be doing right now. And so whether that's through the phone or, you know, through the mail, if you can't see them in person or, you know, through Zoom, like I have these sorts of meetings all the time and just to connect with people, how are you doing? We use Marco Polo. to leave people video messages, and that really works. And so the fact that people know that we're thinking about them says a lot about how much we actually care about the people that are under our care. So,
Well, that's really cool. I like that. I like that, going lo-fi, trying to stay, it's almost like going back to when we didn't have technology, which was kind of cool. I think technology is awesome. And obviously we live at the best time in history to be able to communicate with our people through technology. And we're really seeing it right now. Boy, this last 3 or 4 weeks has certainly, made that apparent, for sure. So talk a little bit about, how do you guys do your, how do you do your services on the weekends? What do you do, and how do you get them from, not even necessarily planning, but you can talk about planning if you want, planning all the way to recording, execution, streaming, that mm-hmm. whole shot. Mm-hmm. What's the path?
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess for us, and I think the beautiful part of this is that, I'm not going to admit that we haven't figured out. So I'll let you into our mistakes and into maybe some things that we feel like we've kind of gotten figured out, which is not much. I would say live performances feel very analog to me. And I think the tech people will get this. They feel very analog to me, whereas on screen services or shows feel very digital. And here's what I mean. What I mean is it's the difference between a dynamic microphone and a cardioid, right? It's like the dynamic microphone or the live event is so much more forgiving. Like, you've got the, psychoacoustic thing happening where like the room is really energized and there are people and there's distractions. And then you got like the condenser mic that like picks up every nuance, you got that guttural thing happening in your voice. Like, it's going to maybe accentuate it to the degree that you don't want to be there. And I think that's what happens in people's homes or in their ears while they're listening. They hear every out of pitch vocal, off pitch vocal. They hear every wrong note. Now all of a sudden the worship leader who never opens their eyes is really an exaggerated, kind of inappropriate way of connecting with people on a screen. And so for us, it's been recognizing that, calling that out. And so the first week we did this, we were live to stream. And I mean, that was wild. For a lot of reasons. 'Cause we were one of those churches who had not been doing this. We had been talking about it. We actually, and you guys, obviously you guys have been partnering with us. So we had, on paper, a whole broadcast suite, the whole deal all planned out. We just weren't into that phase of building yet, but we've been in the conversation. We've been around the equipment. And we had been like beta testing, doing live streaming, but without telling anybody about it. And then we've been taking just the sermons and posting them online. And just like, what is the workflow of that feel like? To capture it, to bring it in into post, to then put it up online. Like, can we get analytics on that? So we were trying to like slowly build into that, because I have a belief that you build into something, you don't just do it unless you have to, and we had to. So, and so for us, what we did is I got on the computer and we rented a bunch of equipment through Borrow Lenses. This is not a commercial for them, but I rented a bunch of equipment because we didn't have the cameras. We didn't have the infrastructure. I got on. I had already been talking with Living as One and purchased an encoder like that. It got next day. I paid the next day air. Because I knew every other church in America was going to be hitting them hard. So I was buying things in the middle of a meeting, emergency meeting. And I'm just like, and my tech director, I probably throw him, I make him crazy. And if he's watching this, I love you, Alex. But I'm like 10 steps ahead at all times. And so, The gear came in. We didn't have it for that weekend. So we like scrapped it together and we had a couple cameras and we already had a switcher, like a very basic, basic little Blackmagic switcher. And we had the capture card and all those goodies. And so we went for it. We used a church online platform, as did everybody else, and had issues with that. But we used Facebook and YouTube as kind of a redundant backup so we could point people in other directions to view the service. And quite honestly, like, I don't know about you guys, but for me, like doing the services week in and week out, it just kind of, it becomes rote after a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm just speaking honestly about where I was at. But they stuck me on broadcast to mixed broadcast, which we'll get to in a second. And I just like, I was mixing and at one moment I just started to weep because what caught me in the middle of that moment while we were, you know, capturing this was, wow, Lord, you're up to something. We get to be a part of this and I get to be a part of this. And I think there's something really special happening in the midst of terrible things happening. There's something very special happening in your church. And so it was a very sacred moment. In the midst of that, realized that I had also not had the kick drum on in the mix. So the first service that we streamed had no kick drum. So then
you were weeping for a completely different reason, right?
Yeah, we're our own worst critics, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we did it again, and then so that was week one. Week two is we had the rental equipment. I think everyone was right to feel like this, but at least in California, and Van, you and I are in California, so maybe you could resonate with this. And I know Duke, you're up in Washington, which is like one of the epicenters of this. That's true. Things were changing like rapidly every day. And so we would plan and then it would change. And then we plan and then we change. And it was like, so at one point we were, you know, debating, do we capture like the next 5 weeks of worship?
Yeah.
And then I got sick. And so I had to self quarantine in my house. And I still don't know what I had. Maybe it was just the flu or whatever, but I had pretty much all the symptoms, and the guys just, our team just rocked it. They captured 2 weeks worth of services. And so when we went into it this week, we said, okay, you know, I can still lead virtually from my computer. And I said, look, in the midst of chaos, what we've got to create is structure for ourselves. And so we went ahead and we tried to create a production schedule. I said, everything is new. Let's create a new reality. We can do whatever we want as long as our team is with us. And so this week I was sharing with you guys earlier, we shot yesterday and I think it looks like Wednesdays are going to be kind of our day to come in and capture everything, capture all the, you know, hosting and the sermon and the music and whatever other creative elements we're going to do. And then Thursday is all post, like, you know, my TV is messaging me right now. Like, hey, I'm going to send you, this low res file. Can you take a look at it? Let me know what it looks like. And so we all kind of speak into it. Then we do a final cut and then it all gets pushed out online for the weekend. So
how quickly did you guys, like after the first weekend, did you go, this workflow is not going to work?
Oh.
like, or during the message, during the first capture or during the first stream?
In?
Yeah. Yeah. How did you, like, did you just go, okay, we got to pre-record this. This is not going to be happening.
So what we had decided is that first weekend we would record, we do three services on a Sunday. So the first service, we said to ourselves, we're going to record and then we'll sim live the other two if it works great. Well, yours truly biffed the kick drum. So we went live again for the second service and then we sim live the last service. And, you know, I think what we realized is yeah, we can't do this on a Sunday, especially with things starting to clamp down. And so then the thing is that Sunday I started getting this cough, this tickle in my throat. And then Monday morning I woke up with a fever, or I came home with it. I went to work, isolated myself in my office, and then came home and I had a fever, the chills and the whole thing. And so from that point forward, I had to kind of isolate, and our team ran with it. But I said, you guys, this week, you know, it's going to be rough, but we have to set a schedule for the remaining weeks. We're kind of planning at this point in time, we're kind of 10 weeks out. We're like, we think we're going to be in this for 10 weeks. And then we'll evaluate, you know, when it gets closer, we may be in this longer than 10 weeks, but we think 10 weeks is probably going to be where we're at.
It seemed to work yesterday. You know, we'll see. I will say this.
Here's the one thing about, because even the churches, and I think you guys could resonate with this, and the people listening probably could resonate with this. The churches that were doing their, you know, capturing their live services and just streaming it online, it is a lot different than not having the audience and having the ability to say, oh, stop, can we actually record that? And that little dance between tech and the tech platform and the other art musician platform, the musicians don't understand those guys' world, and those guys' world don't understand the need for a musician to be perfect in every way. And that kind of like narcissistic need to like have every note right. And so it's one of the things that I identified last night, because I was on like a camera five, you know, like, and just put the old man wherever you want. I'll do whatever. And I noticed, okay, we've got to lock that in. There's got to be some expectations and some clarity around what does this look like. And the other thing we learned is you cannot have your rehearsal on the same day as your capture, at least for us. Our team is primarily made up of volunteers. They don't come in prepped. They just don't. And so we even did 2 hours of rehearsal and then a dinner break. And then we came back and another 2 hours of capture. And it just was like, you don't have the time to let it like marinate, you know, the music to marinate.
Right.
And so that just may be one of the things we have to work through and say, yeah, in this season, we're just going to, it doesn't need to be perfect. You know, we're not Elevation. We don't want to be Elevation. There are churches that do this sort of thing better. So we have to come down to who are we, stick to that. You know, the other thing, the whole phrase that's been ringing in my head is culture eats strategy for breakfast. and it's true, right? Like our culture is, we have a culture where we do this thing on Sunday this way. But we have to have a whole different strategy for online. But what happens is our culture continually eats at the ability to do any kind of different strategy, because the times have changed. And so it doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be like intentional for the time that in which we're in right now. So I find that to be a little bit of a fight too.
I'm curious, because the live event is such a unique animal, right? I mean, as a musician, it's kind of, you got this one shot, you got to play through everything. And it's more about engaging the audience than perfection. Mixing is very much the same way. I mean, the way I would train people to mix live is, honestly, number one, you're focused on it feeling great, and then you're focused on it sounding great, but it's got to feel great first. Yeah. That sort of changes. It sort of flips now, because, I mean, a lot of people are listening to services through their phone, through their iPad, maybe through TV speakers. I mean, so far, all of these are horrific options, right?
Yeah.
Now you might get lucky and they might have like a home theater setup or a sound bar or something at least. But all of a sudden now the entire presentation changes, because you have no control over what people feel. Mm-hmm. How are you guys adjusting, both from a musician side and from a mixing side,
yeah,
to creating some sort of engagement in that? that you can't, you kind of lose control of in a live environment?
Yeah. So this was kind of a great debate between me and our arts folks is, you know, because I'm always thinking about efficiency as an XP. I'm thinking about maximizing everything. And so they really fought me when I was sick that they wanted to do, they wanted to mix a post. They didn't want to just broadcast, you know, left, right, but done. And I just fought. So I kind of gave into it and I said, well, you know, all right, if you guys want to put the time in and do it, great. It's not going to be something we can sustain long term. So when we go back to media in person and there's not pitch correction on the vocals because we're just taking that broadcast mix out of the house console, you have set the bar so high that you're going to, it's going to really hurt you, but okay. So for us, okay.
Can we get the COVID band back? I can see this happening. I hadn't thought about that. That's awesome.
So, and I think that, you know, I think his name is it Adam Taylor, who's at Central.
Yeah.
Man, I was really, I hope he watches this because I don't know him very, I don't know him at all, but I was really impressed that on Instagram, you know, he just, you know, posted that they just went right from the console, right, you know, right from the, it's a live mix, boom, done, print, done. And I just thought that takes a lot of confidence and humility to say, that's good enough. I'm comfortable with that. So for us, and probably a lot of churches can't do what we're doing. And I realize that, but for us, our workflow is we have two redundant, you know, machines running Logic, and we go straight Dante into those machines, re-record all the tracks. And then our worship pastor, who can also mix, and I know not every worship pastor can do that, and he's super proficient with Logic and Pro Tools, and he just at home mixes it. He's got a template set up so he can work pretty efficiently, and boom, boom, boom. And he and I had a conversation after week one, and I said, look, I don't want you to apply any effects to the vocals or instruments that we could not pull off live. And I said, in like, when I was in college the first time, before I got, you know, kicked out, years ago when I was like 19, I was a photojournalism major, and I got to do an internship at the LA Times. And I'll never forget that the photographer that I did the internship with, it was, I won't say what year it was. It was in the 90s though. And Photoshop was on version 3, and we were at the conversion of film and digital. So that gives you, okay. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Photoshop, we're gonna scan our negs, and like, how do you manipulate the photo? And the guy said, no, the photo is what the photo is. You could crop it, but that's it. And I was like fascinated by that because you have all these tools and effects and filters at your fingertips, but his press was no. How you saw it through the lens is how it needs to be. And I think that holds true for mixing is, look, you don't need to apply so much that all of a sudden it doesn't sound like, and so that's to your question, Duke, that's how we kind of pull it off is we just like, hey, these are the tools. You got a compressor, you got limiting, you got gating, you got a couple effects. Like, this is what we have available to us on our console at front of house. We don't have a wave sound grid. We don't have all that stuff. So approach the mix like that. And the tuning is very light, very, very light. And if it sounds like Cher, it's like, man, come on, dude. Why that much? So that for us is what we're doing. And we're trying to make it sound great, but utilizing the tools that we would only have available to us if we were in the room.
I feel like former worship pastor Matt and executive pastor Matt would get into a fight. Because I remember some of our conversations 5, 6, 7 years ago where you were as much into some of these gadgets and gizmos as anybody.
Well, I'm into certain gadgets and gizmos, and you know that.
I just like this full spectrum you have of having been on one side, being the guy who goes, no, we will mix this 38 times until it's right, to, gosh, I don't feel like we should be doing that because we can't do that live. Why would we do that now?
Yeah. And we're creating culture right now. So, Andy Crouch in his book Culture Making, he says to create culture, you just do what you're doing over and over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And so, you know, like at first we thought, oh, we're going to be streaming for like 3 or 4 weeks. No. Yeah. It's months now. And you're going to create culture in that time. And so I think everyone's got to press in and begin to ask themselves questions. The things that we're doing, are these the things that we want to continue to do? Because if we continue to do them, people are going to expect that. And we're going to expect that out of ourselves, and our people are going to expect that out of us.
Well, and I still think, and we've talked about this on a few of the previous weeks, but I still think that while people do have an expectation of a minimum level of quality, like it's got to be at least this good. Once it hits that kind of that bottom bar, I think it's all about connecting with people I know, with environments I know, with a God I know, and it's about creating some sort of normalcy. It's about reconnecting to some normal life. And, you know, so for some of those who are spending days crafting a 1-hour service to go online, I kind of go, smoke them if you got them. Great. If you got the time, go for it. It's cool. But I don't think that's what people are craving. I mean, I'm not watching services going, how cool can they get on this, or how great can the mix be, or how this. I'm just going, man, I just need some connection to the normal world and to God and to some sense of calm and peace and grace, because there's not a whole lot of that in our world right now. And I think some of us are trying to make this too hard.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with you, Duke. I think that your culture dictates what you're doing. So like if you didn't have the expectation that you operate at this level, then why are you trying to operate up there? Like, why are you trying to produce at that level? And I get it. Some churches, though, there is that expectation to have that level of production.
Totally.
Totally get that. But I'll tell you, this week, one of the most fruitful things we did was one of the most low-tech things we did. We literally sent out in our e-newsletter, hey, our pastor is going to be on Zoom at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. 8 o'clock because that's when the kiddos are down. We try to reach families with young kids, so we know that's our demographic. He's going to be on Zoom at 8 o'clock for prayer. We had over 50 people, and it was like so communal, relational. Oh, it's so good to see you. People like sitting there eating their dinner, you know, like it was church. We weren't trying to be something other than who we are. And that's why it worked. So,
yeah, no, you said something good. We talked about this a little bit a couple weeks ago, and I still believe it's true. I think, whoever you are on a normal weekend is who you should be online right now. I think it's critical that whoever you are on a normal weekend when everybody's together is exactly who you are online. Because again, if here's the thing, when we're used to going to a church, we take the good and the bad, right? We show up. And maybe we like the music, maybe we don't like the music. Maybe the pastor's message is awesome, maybe we just think it's okay. Maybe I love the nursery, maybe I don't love the nursery, whatever, right? There's like this whole package. The second we're online, everything's available to us. If second song rolls around and went, go, man, you guys suck today, I'm going to go over and check out this church today. Like it becomes a commodity almost. And so for me, I think the worst thing you can do is start to get competitive and to make your online experience a commodity. I think it's all about, how do I connect with people who share our heart, who share our vision, who share our community? And how do we bring everybody back together, even though we can't be together?
Yeah. And that's the thing too, to your point, is I think a lot of churches, and I'm not trying to make a claim that every church, I just wonder if there are churches out there, to your point, that have actually lost vision in this season. And what they need to do is go back to their vision statement and just like get that ingrained again. Like everything mm-hmm. you're doing right now, does it flow through that? And because regardless of whatever season, that's what you're called to. Where's your mission field? What's the vision? What are your core values? And if it's whatever you're doing right now is not filtering through that, you really should have a question about whether you ought to be doing that or not. It would reduce the crazy, I think, at least a little bit of the crazy.
Do you
I'm trying to match up.
Do you think though that in the long, like once, you know, yeah, we were kind of joking before, you know, that there are certain phrases that we want out of the English language, but I'm going to use one of them. And I hate this term because I don't want to, hopefully I'll never use it again, but whatever it is, people are calling the new normal, you know, whatever that means. There's no, I don't even know what normal is in regular times. So I don't know what new normal is, but once we get through this first phase and we're on to phase two, whatever phase two means, whatever that is. Have you thought about, you know, how much of this you're going to keep? You know, yeah, I mean, are you guys having conversations about that?
Yeah, we've already started to pivot. And, you know, the first pivot was how are we going to get online? That's, you know, that was really the first pivot for us. The second, and now it's like, okay, we've been doing this. Okay. We've got kind of a workflow. Second pivot is, what does the future hold? And I mean, we literally started that. So one of the things that our executive team does is, in this time, we said, all right, we've got to go from meeting once a week. We've got to meet every day. So we meet every day for an hour, and we have an agenda, and we create actionable steps out of that agenda. And we've actually kind of we have a very collaborative team, okay? And so to that end, you know, it's not unusual for, I don't know, for our children's department to work with our worship and create like a kid's album. That's not unusual. So, but now in this world, it's kind of, you know, what we've done is we've kind of tightened up the org chart. We said, our senior pastor is going to lead through the management team down to everybody else. And that's just how we're going to operate in this time. So I wonder, though, if for us, that's one of the things that we're going to continue to operate with is a more tightened version of our management. Because it's one of the things that we've got in this time, heightened communication as a staff, heightened communication with our community, with not only our church community, but with the city community. And I think those things have to continue. And then in terms of like what we're actually doing, you know, there is something about, you know, the big conversation has been people aren't attending church anymore. They're only attending 1.6 times a month. What do we do? And, yeah, you know, it's like that's such a stupid conversation because you're literally trying to grab water and you will never be able to hold it. And so, you know, then the whole conversation turns into engagement. Oh, what do we do to keep them engaged? Well, I wonder if what we're learning is our content doesn't have to actually be that hi-fi, and we can actually engage our people like at 8 o'clock at night through Zoom to do a prayer gathering, and it's still high value, high, you know, relational touch, but it's super low tech. So I think we'll be producing content. I think that's going to happen, more content than we have been. We're going to be using, it's giving us the permission now to use, you know, virtual like Zoom or conferencing to do these sorts of things. But I think they're also, we're going to be really careful with it because just like we're on this call now, everybody is on a Zoom call every second of the day and it's getting to be really old.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Can I repackage something you said? I think one of the things you said, and I agree with what I think you meant, but I want to package it a little differently. You were saying that you don't think the content need or the content quality has to be high. I actually think right now the content is more critical than ever. It's the production value. I think once you get over that minimum threshold of what people can live with or not live with, and we hit most of the notes. Sound is relatively balanced.
Yeah.
Cameras don't have to move a lot, but it's not just like looking up somebody's nose the entire time, or it's not so wide I can't see faces, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But like once you get past that minimum threshold, I agree with you. I think production value is not as critical. However, I think content is by far the most important thing right now, because we're all desperate for connection, for normalcy, for hope, faith, mm-hmm. love. These are things that are, and so the content of what we're doing, whether it's music, whether it's prayer, whether it's a message, whether it's a Bible study, whatever it is, the content I think is more critical than ever. It just doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, my buddy Curtis, he's a pastor at a church in Vegas at Canyon Ridge. He and I were on a call with a couple other leaders last week, and he said our whole phrase amongst our staff right now is post over polish. Just get it out. Like, create the content, connect with people. Like, you do not need to focus on perfectionism. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect right now. And you're right. It's got to be about 80% there and then go. It doesn't have to be 100%.
What are you doing with your other ministries? What's happening with the other ministries? And that'll, I think, lead into a question that we got asked that Duke has, but kind of explain what you're doing with your other ministries right now online.
So all of our family ministries, so our middle school and high school, right? So kids, our children's pastor, who is also married to our technical arts director, which is a win for her. She's posting content every day. They've literally turned part of their bedroom, they have a huge bedroom, into basically a studio. So they're doing content creation right there. And it's really clean. It's really simple. It's one camera. She reads a Bible story, or she has like a 2-minute lesson. And that works for us. And then they post it to a kid's YouTube channel. Our kids' YouTube channel, our middle school and our high school, I think these guys are still trying to figure it out. They're basically, what they're doing is all of their students come in, they have worship, you know, with music and a teaching on a YouTube live stream. And then they all break out into Zoom live groups. I just don't know how effective that is, but that's what they're doing right now. I will say this, and it's a super big bummer, and I don't have a solution. So if somebody does have a solution, please let me know. We have a very strong Celebrate Recovery ministry at our church, and right now they're not able to meet. That is a big deal. So if somebody has a solution for that, I'm all ears. So
yeah, that's tough.
We don't know what to do with them. We just don't know. So.
Well, and sometimes those are the folks that don't have as great access to internet and computers and solid. Yeah. So the question that came through, which is actually, it's a really good question, and I know every church is going to deal with it a little differently. So we're curious as to how you deal with it, you guys deal with it. So we're seeing churches, you know, you're doing the weekend experience, you're doing maybe some kids stuff, you're doing some Bible studies, this, that, and the other thing. Who's sort of the coordinator of all these things? And, you know, is it the tech guy who's got to organize all this and organize all these different ministries around this is how we can do it? Or is everybody on their own? Or, I mean, you know, the question, it's a really fascinating question, because I can see some churches where the tech guy has to be in the middle of all of it all of a sudden. Yeah. And I can see other places where you've got maybe some tech savvy folks involved at the church where it's like, no, we'll do our thing. And then these guys will do their thing. But then you get disconnected because everything looks completely different. Like, so what are you guys doing and what are you seeing?
That is a question that literally has been rattling my brain this week. So like one of my roles as XP is a C, like one of my big pet peeves is when there is I call them pinch points, like when one person is like the keeper of that one thing and everything has to go through that person.
Yeah.
I love decentralized systems where people have the information, they're empowered, and they run with it. I would say in our tech, we have not done that well. And I think really good tech directors are victims of their own success.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
And here's what I mean by it. Tech directors need to learn how to say no. And you know what? I heard Mike Sessler say this, I think the best. Mike and I were at lunch and he said, this is years ago. He said, you know, I told my church, like, if you want me to do X, I could totally do that. I just want to let you know that these three other things I can't do this week because I'm going to do that instead. That is a healthy person. That's someone who really knows their bandwidth. And they also know what it takes to say yes to that thing and what they're going to have to say no to in order to say yes to that thing. So, so let me start with saying that tech directors are the victim of, we have a fantastic tech director. Unfortunately, I think, and if he's watching, I love you to death. I think he's a victim of his own success because he's so easy to work with. He says yes to so many things. He's so awesome. And, you know, this is where I come in and say, no, we're not going to do that. You know, we need to say no to this. And so right now, trying to guard him and trying to, you know, make sure that, you know, he doesn't burn out in the midst of all this. That's my greatest worry for him is that he would burn out. And so then who becomes the content program coordinator person, you know, the branding person who makes sure that all content across, you know, all streaming platforms is brand recognizable. We're speaking the same message. There's certain values upheld with, you know, the kind of video that we're creating. Nobody at this point, nobody is doing that. And everybody is left to their own devices right now. But that is the next conversation. That's where we're at. That's the pivoting for the long haul conversation.
Yeah. Well, that's the challenge I see, because I can see the coordination of a lot of these things happening through a senior leadership staff and trying to bring some solidarity and consistency to all the things that are going on through the leadership. But then there's this whole deployment topic. And so, you know, I think in an ideal world, you've got a communications person who's dealing with branding and graphics and those things. And, you know, if you're doing a Bible study and we're doing the weekend and you're doing a kids thing, everybody's got messaging and graphics and logos and all those things that line up. And so you have consistency there. You've got a tech staff who can actually handle deploying all those different things, cameras, decent audio, making sure, you know, things like the internet work, stuff like that. Right. And you have all that. But the reality is once you start trying to do more and more, that starts getting really hard to facilitate. And especially if you're in a smaller church where you might have, you know, a pastor, a worship pastor, and a volunteer tech guy, now all of a sudden it's like, man, who's got to be in the middle of those things? Or do you just throw it out there and everybody's on your own? And again, good content with questionable delivery is better than nothing.
Yeah, no, I think that there's something there to mine. I actually heard somebody say, I can't remember where I heard this. But here's how I've been thinking about it. So when you go to launch a multi-site campus, right? And, you know, you've got the mothership campus, the central campus with all of its bells and whistles. It's, you know, it's tech team of 12 full-time people and, you know, all the moving lights galore and the big room and all the facility, the beautiful bathrooms and the children's facilities and blah, 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 blah. And then you go and plant in a setup in a school down the street. And, you know, you don't got the cushy chairs. You don't have the nice children's facility. The bathrooms are kind of stinky. You know what I heard? I heard somebody say where most multi-sites make their biggest problem is, they They don't replicate everything they did at the central site. Now, here's the thing. The thing that they were saying is you need to have the conversation before you launch the multi-site of what you're going to cut at the central campus so that the multi-site can actually do what the central campus is doing. And this is my point. My point is, what are you going to cut? What are you going to cut instead of how are we going to do everything we're doing right now digitally? What are you going to cut so that you can't, because based on whatever your staff, you know, your staffing is and your team size and your abilities, like maybe your children's pastor isn't tech savvy. I could only imagine if our tech director wasn't married to our children's pastor, what that would look like. But yesterday, as we were, we were capturing the Easter services. I get a phone call from our high school pastor freaking out because his capture card wasn't working at home. What do I do? Well, dude, I'm tied up, man. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're going to have to use your webcam on your computer. Well, what does that look like? What we look like. So, I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a huge issue, but I would say, what are you going to, instead of saying yes to everything, what are you going to say no to in this season that doesn't compromise your mission and your vision or your values?
Yeah.
It still helps you get content out.
And that's probably even more important as a volunteer as well, because now you're, you know, if you're paid to be there, and most of us, I certainly did, got sucked in more than 40 hours a week, most weeks, right? but there's a little bit of a, we're in a crisis and I'm on staff and I'm going to dig in kind of a thing. But if you're a volunteer tech director, you've got another job, you've got all these things going on. I think you in particular have to be very sort of definitive on what you can and can't give and go, man, I spend the weekends, you know, I spend 5 hours a week doing the weekend service or whatever it is, right? I can still give you that. I still want to give you that, but I can't all of a sudden give you 20 just because you want 20.
Well, and another thing is what happens when we get over this 10 weeks, you know, quote unquote, 10 weeks, and we do start having gatherings again in these churches, but yet now we're doing all this online stuff. The conversation is going to have to get pulled back, especially in smaller churches where, as we know, there's lots of volunteer tech directors out there that have full-time jobs and families and stuff going on in their lives. And then they also serve at the church. And so now what?
Yeah.
Now what? But I think it's probably smart for churches to be thinking about that now. Not waiting for that 10 weeks to be up and then go, okay, now what do we do? You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the hope we're having right now. This is part of why we keep having these conversations and the conversations we're having with many, many churches across the country. It's like, yes, right now you're trying to figure out how to keep your congregation engaged at a time when you've really only got one avenue to do so. But don't just think about this as a short-term it's fun to watch some of these guys who are just ripping apart their auditorium and setting up a whole new setup, you know, with no chairs in the room. And I go, this is super cool. I, as an artist, I look at it and I love it. But then I also go, this isn't sustainable. And at some point you are still going to have to design how this looks like once there's people in the room again. And you don't want to wait until the last minute because otherwise you're all of a sudden, you know, somebody's going to lift the order of we're all allowed to be humans with each other again. It's going to be wonderful. And you know darn well, every pastor in America is going to be like, okay, I know today's Friday, but they just lifted the order. So we're having service on Sunday. And if you haven't thought about it now, if you're not building your systems now for what the long term looks like, you're going to be back in the exact same boat in hopefully 6 to 8 weeks. Going, oh crap, now we got to do live, but still keep the stream because frankly, a lot of people aren't going to come back to gatherings right away. They're not going to feel comfortable. So you've got to start thinking about the next thing now so that when that time comes, because it'll hit us fast, you're actually ready for it and not scrambling again to figure out what the new normal is again.
Yeah. Cause we don't know how people are going to react.
No. And here's the thing, to Duke's point, and to your point too, Vanna, we don't know if they're just going to want to stay home. They don't want it. They're not going to want to congregate.
Some people.
I mean, look, the second Disneyland opens, my wife and my child, we're back there. We were there the last day they were open because we're that crazy. So we're going to be that church. We're, not just because I work there, but because I love the people and I'll, wash my hands and not touch my face and not shake hands. But that old axiom, Duke, what you're talking about, this is the conversation I always have with my staff is, the cheap, fast, good. If you cheap and fast, that equals low quality work. Fast and good is expensive. Good and cheap doesn't happen anytime soon. And so to your point about planning, most churches don't have the budget, so they have to do it cheap, but they want to do it to some level of quality. And so if you don't start now, you will be so behind the curve, and you will either do one of two things. If you want it really good, and you don't have the band, the runway, you're going to spend a lot of money,
yeah,
a lot more than you would if you would have just given yourself time. And if you want to do it fast and pivot and do it cheap,
it's going to look like it. Well, and you got to remember, and then we should probably wrap it up, but you also have to remember that right now, any video manufacturer is just reeling and scrambling trying to make more product. Most video manufacturers right now are backordered anywhere from 3 to 8 weeks. And so if you want to have good systems in place by the time we get back to opening the doors again, you've got to start planning and almost ordering now, because it may take you that long to get your stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do. We're like our folks are helping people nonstop. I mean, part of Duke's job now is just to find gear for
every time, like all of a sudden a streaming encoder becomes available. Yeah. They just got 40 of these in. Great. Order 30.
Yeah.
And then we send an email out going, okay, we have these this week, and they're gone in a couple of days.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've got to plan ahead right now. Because if you think there's any chance of you opening your doors again to people June 1st, July 1st, which I hope is true. I think that's optimistic, but I hope that's true. You have to start ordering your gear now so that you actually get it by then.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of churches are going to be in a very different financial position. So there's got to be that whole thing is going to be in play, and we could spend a whole, we'll have you back on in 10 weeks to talk about that. So,
that's the shortest Where Are They Now session.
Yeah.
Ever.
Sure. Where Are They Now? Right? Yeah. But, we're going to wrap up here. Thanks to everybody that's been online and, great questions. And, just before we get out of here, if you had some encouragement just to say to just like small church folk, volunteer tech director, volunteer worship pastor, one man band pastor, what would you say from where you are, where you guys are?
Yeah, always remember that people are more important than your production or your programs that you're creating. If in your pursuit of creating the most utmost high level blah, blah, blah that you could ever create, you steamroll over your people, when we get through this, you won't have those people.
Yeah.
Or if you're one of those people, you're going to be so toast. So please care for your people. This is an opportunity for us to extravagantly care for our people in this season. And so, I would say this, give yourself the permission to say no. Give yourself the permission to say no in this season. Be prayerful about what you're actually going to do and not do, and just commit to it and be okay with it. The Lord's going to bless it. He's got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Matt. We really appreciate you coming on. Thanks everybody that's been in the chat room and everybody that's watching online. This will be reposted. It'll be reposted on YouTube for your friends that don't have Facebook. So you can let them know later. It'll be up probably tomorrow morning. And just one more thing, I don't want to drill this into the ground, but honestly, one of the things that we're trying really hard to do is to be here, to be a resource, even if it's just to answer questions or to walk you through something, or a shoulder to cry on, which both Duke and I have been a shoulder to cry on to people that have been calling us and just, you know, are giving us their woes. And we get it, you know? And so all three of us have been tech directors. So we all understand. Honestly, we're here. Our guys are ready and manning the phones. We're available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time. But know this, there's multiple ones of us who actually monitor all the social media as much as we can. I mean, we try as hard as we can, you know. And so Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, message us, and we will do our best to get back to you or get somebody get back to you as quickly as possible, give you some information or whatever, because we want to help you however we can. Sometimes it's tech support. Sometimes it's just a question. And sometimes it's gear. We're here for that. So as much as we can help you, we want to be a resource because we believe in the mission of you guys, of the church. So we've got a whole staff of people that I would say most of us on staff were on staff at churches at some point in time, or at least in a volunteer position at a church. So we get it.
We've got a whole team of guys that are inventing a lot of weird ways to do things on a shoestring budget right now. It's great.
Absolutely. That's what tons of the conversations are about. So we're just CCI Solutions on all the platforms. And so figure it out that way, or you can just hit me up. I'm The Sound Booth on Twitter and Van Metschke anywhere else. Duke DeYoung is Duke DeYoung everywhere. if people want to ask
everywhere you want to be.
Yeah. If people want to ask you questions, Matt, maybe just something specific on like, how did you guys do this or whatever? I know you're totally you're a total answerer of questions and helping other churches. You do all the time. What's the best way that you want people to get a hold of you?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways. The first is, Facebook is honestly the easiest, and my name is Matt Lewis. And then the second way is, anybody could email me. My email is simple. It's Matt, M-A-T-T, the letter L, at beachpoint.com. That's my email address. I get them on my phone, so don't hesitate to ping me. I'd love to answer questions.
So there you go. There was Duke and I's interview with Matt Lewis. Matt's a great guy, and honestly, you can reach out to him. Just like he said, he will totally answer all your questions. We really love Matt, and like I said, I've known him for a long time, and he just has a great heart for ministry. So we really appreciate you listening to the podcast as you have been, and telling friends, and the podcast is really gaining strength and popularity, and I really appreciate that. Thank you also for those of you who have gone over to iTunes and given 5-star reviews and said some kind words. We really appreciate that. If you haven't done that, even if iTunes is not your primary podcast app, please go over and give us a great rating and give us a good comment. That really helps us out. I really appreciate it. You can hit us up on Twitter at Church Tech Pro. We have a Facebook page, Church Tech Profiles, and also on Instagram, Church Tech Profiles. So please follow, like, subscribe, do all the things, and that would be fantastic. Trying to keep building this community. There's a lots of stuff in the offing, some stuff I can't talk about right now because it's still kind of brewing, but I will tell you about it as soon as I can. Some cool stuff's going on. Next week, I am going to play a podcast that I did with Prentice over at the Church Sound Podcast. If you haven't checked out the Church Sound Podcast, you really should. It's pretty cool. Prentice and I had a great time talking on the Church Sound Podcast, and he was kind enough to send me the recordings so that I can post it here on Church Tech Profiles. I think we're going to be doing a lot more stuff with Prentice. He's a great dude. And it's kind of an East Coast, West Coast thing because he's in New York and I'm in California. And we had a great time. We really did. We laughed a lot. We talked a lot about audio and mixing and just all kinds of stuff. So it was really, really fun. Also, he kind of interviewed me. So if you don't know about my background or anything like that, you'll have a chance to hear a little bit about that. So anyway, thank you guys so much. Stay encouraged. We're all the same in the sound booth. We all have the same struggles, no matter what background, what political party we're from. It doesn't really matter when you're in the sound booth trying to get the same thing accomplished, and that's to serve the church and spread the gospel. So let's never lose sight of that. Thank you guys so much. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you later.